Hello, Grinders, and welcome back to the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to break down the slate for you guys. Hopefully you guys had a good Monday slate. It was definitely a really, really interesting one. Overall, just not a lot of runs were scored, and pitching wasn't too bad. It was just really a strange slate. The Diamondbacks, they were like one of the higher scoring teams of the night, and it was mainly because of David Peralta hitting two home runs. It was just a really, really, really strange slate. So we're back, though, with a 14-game slate today. So this slate should be pretty good. I like these bigger slates on Tuesdays. They're much more appealing to me. You know, ownership gets spread out, yada yada yada. So I like this one. You don't have to worry about people just playing all the same guys. Like Nelson Cruz was 93% owning cash games yesterday, which I like being on a sharp play, but geez, 93% is pretty insane. So hopefully we don't see that tomorrow. Should be fun for cash games, should be fun for tournaments. There's pitchers to pay up for, there's pitchers to pay down for, there's Coors Fields, there are tons of different bats, so let's kind of get started. First game up, Atlanta Braves, Washington Nationals, 7.5 total here. We have Sean Newcomb and Max Scherzer, and he's the guy you want to pay for if you have the money. Max Scherzer against the Braves sounds like a great idea. He is the best raw points player of the slate. The problem is, do you think that you have the money on him? Would you rather spend down on some other pitchers? I think you can spend down on some other pitchers. Just the question is, do you feel like you have to prioritize those bats? So Max Scherzer, he is a really good play. I get it. It is the Braves, and people are worried about the Braves, but they're, I don't know, I feel like they're not as scary as people make them out to be at times. And when we have an ace like Max Scherzer, we have to kind of, we kind of have to just pull the trigger on it. So I think in FanDuel, you definitely need to be playing him. He's going to be the guy that I want to go to. There are some other guys that we'll talk about that I think are in the conversation, but Max is definitely the number one that you want to try and make work. DraftKings, I think you want to make him work for your SP1 and then probably go with really cheap SP2, kind of condense the salaries together to make a pretty cheap combination of pitching all around. And then on Fantasy Draft, I would kind of do the same thing. Like I said, he's 26.9K on Fantasy Draft. DraftKings, he's 13.9K. It is a pricey spend, but I would do my best to try and make it work. And if you can't make it work, then that's fine. But I would do my best to try and make that work and then jam in like a really cheap pitcher on like a two pitcher site and then go from there. But Max Scherzer, he's the best pitcher on the slate that you want to be rostering. Next up, I want to talk about Sean Newcomb, and this is just not really an ideal spot for Newcomb, not an ideal spot for the Nationals, and it feels like a good spot just to stay away from. I won't be playing Newcomb. I won't be playing really many Nationals. Maybe I'll take like a Zimmerman as a one-off, but I don't know. There's not a lot to like here for me in this game. It's just pitching, really, Max Scherzer. I don't want to really play any Braves bats, and like I would love to play Nationals bats, but they have a lower total, and this is a pitcher that's a really talented pitcher. He did do that, have that almost perfect game the other day, but I do think this is a spot where I'm just going to kind of shy away from the Nationals bats and shy away from Newcomb and mainly focus on Scherzer in this game overall, because it's tough. I just don't like attacking elite hitting like that and elite pitching, so just a spot to really stay away, and Max Scherzer is the guy that you're going to want to be playing in this game. Next one up, we got the Boston Red Sox, Toronto Blue Jays. We got Drew Pomerantz against Marcus Stroman. This is a 9.5 total here, and I expect runs to be scored for sure in this game. Drew Pomerantz is one guy that I do think he's going to get hit up a little bit here. We got guys like Grichuk at the top, Devin Travis, Smoke, Morales, Hernandez. That 1-5 is a really appealing stack here for cheap, and I do think that you can mix some of these guys in your cash games. Drew Pomerantz is a guy, he can have his good outings, but the Blue Jays, they're very good at hitting lefties, and Pomerantz is one of those lefties. He can get hit really hard and have some problems, so I do think that this is a spot where some of these Blue Jays bats are really appealing, and I don't love this offense the way it's constructed right now, right? The Blue Jays are not a team that I play often, but I do think in this spot for their salaries, I think we could get away with it and they could have some pop in their lineup. Obviously, the Red Sox, they are a really interesting team. They're, one of the best offenses in the league. If you want to get exposure to them, you can. I'm never going to argue against it. Against Marcus Stroman, it's not as ideal. I think Stroman is a fine pitcher. He's not what he was last year. He's gotten a little bit better, though. He struggled a ton at the start of the year, but I do think that Stroman is a guy that we don't need to pick on totally. If you want to play Moreland, Benintendi, definitely down for that. Betts and Martinez, any of that 1-5, I will always sign off on. I also think that some of these prices on these guys are pretty good, like Xander Bogaerts is 3-3 on FanDuel. Mitch Moreland is 3-3 on FanDuel as well. Those are really nice price tags on those guys. You get Moreland at 4-1 on DraftKings. Bogaerts is 4-2, and then fantasy draft, you're getting Moreland at 8-4 and Bogarts at 8-4. So there is a little bit of a discount there if you want some exposure to the Red Sox offense. I think that's not a bad route to go with it. Just trying to get Betts and JD Martinez in there today, it just doesn't seem too necessary to me, just because I think there's other bats that I would rather pay for instead. Next game up, Cincinnati Reds, New York Mets. We've got an 8.5 total here. We got Sal Romano against Jason Vargas. And Jason Vargas is a guy that I kind of think is interesting on this slate. I don't love Jason Vargas. I'm not a big Jason Vargas fan, but he is 4.5K. It is a very cheap price tag. And he's going up against a Reds offense that is not great. Sure, I'm scared of Eugenio Suarez. Like, so scared of him. He's a very, very good hitter. But, I mean, what else am I really scared of? We got Novato in the projected lineup. I mean, this lineup looks kind of ugly here. So, I do think Vargas could get you, you know, double digits on DraftKings. Maybe get you to 10 to 12, worst case scenario. And then, you know, you're sitting fine. You have him with Max Scherzer and you're looking good in your, you know, your lineups. Again, I don't think that Vargas is going to go out here and pitch this gem. But I do think for the price, he is someone that you have to be considering in your cash game. Because it'll help you get in the bats. You know, it's a core slate. We definitely have core bats that we're going to want to prioritize and other bats throughout the slate that we're going to want. So I do think that Jason Vargas is a guy that you need to be considering a little bit in cash games. On the opposite side, Sal Romano gets the Mets offense. I'm going to kind of stay away from... I don't know. I get it. The Mets offense is bad. I totally understand. It's just one of those things. They're hitting the ball a little better right now, and I'm not saying their lineup is, like, really good or anything, but it's definitely gotten a little better putting in McNeil and, you know... I don't know. It just, it doesn't look as bad as people might make it think. Like, McNeil's a better hitter than people think, so they just see Jeff McNeil and think he's bad. I don't know if he's just, like, skewing things for me, but I feel like this lineup doesn't look as bad as it maybe looked 2 weeks ago, right? I don't know. I just don't think that we need to be going Sal Romano. I'd rather just go Jason Vargas instead. I think there's a better opportunity with him there. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. In this game, if you want to play some of the bats, I guess I would look at a Nemo. I'd play Conforto, McNeil. Those are kind of the guys I'd look at. Maybe Rosario at the top, who's been swinging the ball pretty decently. And then on the red side, like, Eugenio Suarez is a phenomenal play. I said, obviously, I like Vargas, but I mean, Eugenio Suarez, I feel like could get a hold of one and get a solo shot today. So let's hope that that's what he does, not get like a grand slam if the bases get loaded or something crazy. But I do think Suarez is a real good candidate to hit one out tomorrow. So that's about it for this game, though. Let's go on to the next one. We got the Minnesota Twins, the Cleveland Indians. This is an 8.5 total with Alberto Mejia and Carlos Carrasco. And Carrasco is a guy that, against this Twins offense that's not so great right now, I do think that Carrasco is interesting. The problem is, I just don't know if I want to spend that money on him, right? If you're just talking about the matchup and how he could do, I think he's going to pitch a pretty good game. Vegas agrees, 3.32 implied total only for the Twins. I mean, Carrasco is definitely in line for a good outing, but I will say the price is definitely not where I want it to be. 10.6 on FanDuel, DraftKings it's 11.5, and then 22.2K on Fantasy Draft. It's definitely more of a tournament play. He's in my player pool for tournaments to consider and definitely be rostering, but in cash games, it's a little bit tougher for me to stomach, and it seems like he gets kind of caught in no man's land there. People are just not going to want to play him. They're either going to go to Scherzer or go down more, and people just are not going to look at him more so in cash games. And he's going to be more of a tournament option, which means he'll go a little under-owned. Let's talk about this Indians offense now here against Mejia. And this is definitely a spot, you know, the Indians are home. When the Indians are home, what do we want to do? We want to load up on this offense. And they have an implied total above 5. It makes sense to be firing away on these Indians. Just look at some of these numbers on Mejia. 5.56 xFIP. K percentage 13.5%. Walk rate at 10.8%. I mean, this guy is not good. He's definitely a pitcher that we can target here a ton. So I'm going to be playing these Indians bats. Yeah, they're expensive. I totally get it. But we need to be loading up on them in this spot. One guy who's going to be an interesting value, I think, on this slate, if we get him in the five hole, is Brandon Guyer. You know, he's a guy that we get there against lefties, and I do think he could be a pretty decent value on this slate in your cash games if you want some cheap exposure to the Indians offense, because it's not too easy to get cheap exposure to them. That's about it on this game. Let's move on to the next one. We got the St. Louis Cardinals. The Miami Marlins is an 8 total here with Miles Mikolas against Pablo Lopez. And man, Mikolas is probably going to pitch a really good game. He's definitely a better real-life pitcher than a fantasy pitcher because he does not have the strikeout upside that we really look for. And he's going against a team in the Marlins who, yeah, they don't have a ton of power and pop, but they don't really, you know, that they don't really give you a ton of strikeouts. That's the one thing that worries you about this team. So I just feel like I'm staying away from Mikolas, but I don't know. I think you can take a shot on him in tournaments if you want. Just understand you might not get that big upside game that you're looking for. If it makes you feel safe playing him, I get it, but I'm not going that route. I think there's better pitchers to go to instead, but I understand if you want to try and take a shot on it. I just worry about the K upside a ton with Mikolas. So about Pablo Lopez on the opposite side, and I just don't think I need to do this here against the Cardinals offense. I think there's just better cheap options, one that we'll get to in the next game, and I just don't think it's too necessary. If you want to play Matt Carpenter, I think that's perfectly fine. Play tomorrow, or Marcelo Zuna, I'm okay with that. But I'm not going too crazy with Cardinals and not going too crazy with Marlins. Just not a game that I love rostering too much here on this slate. Next game up, we got the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays. This is an 8 total here with Alex Cobb against Tyler Glasnow. And this is a pitcher that Tyler Glasnow, man, I want to be rostering him in this spot. He gets an Orioles team going into Tampa. Ballpark ground downgrade with a really righty-heavy lineup. This is just a spot where Glasnow has a ton of upside and definitely could have a really good game. I do worry about the walks with him. If you fire up the plate IQ, you'll see Glasnow. 13.8 walk percentage. I mean, that's really, really bad. And it's definitely very, very concerning here. It's something I don't like seeing. I'm definitely worried about, but he does have a 3.52 xFIP, a 30.3 K percentage. The upside is immense there. I do think he's a great cash game play too. Yes, there is some risk because of the walks that he has, but I do think we need to be considering Glasnow as a cash option and a tournament option on this slate. Last note on Glasnow, the one thing that I do think is really encouraging, sure, we're scared of Glasnow's walks at 13.8%, but the Orioles are striking out at the, the fifth lowest in the league, so they are not walking a ton, so obviously that gives us, some reasons to be kind of hopeful that they won't walk a ton of batters here. So I do think Glasnow is a phenomenal play, and I'm definitely going to be playing him on this slate a lot. On the opposite side, Alex Cobb. I don't really like Alex Cobb. Not really an Alex Cobb believer. He is a guy that he struggles a ton. He gets hit hard. I just don't think we need to be playing him here, despite the stadium being a really good ballpark for pitchers. But I do think that some of these Rays bats could be interesting, and it's kind of going to keep it simple. I'm going to go with Malik Smith. If he's at the top, I think he's a really nice value. Then you got Jacob Bowers, who I think is a phenomenal power bat in that 3-hole, and then followed by CJ Cron. I really like him in the 4-hole, and I'm just going to kind of keep it simple with those three bats, the 1, 3, and 4. Not go too crazy with bats in this game because it's not an appealing spot for them. Next game up, Seattle Mariners, Texas Rangers, 11 total with Felix Hernandez and Bartolo Colon. And this is a game where we're going to want to load up on the bats, right? First of all, it's Bartolo Colon. We have to fire away on him. D. Gordon, Gene Segura, Denard Span, Nelson Cruz, Mitch Haniger. I mean, all these guys. Seager, it's just every single bat. Zaninu, they're all in play. All phenomenal cash game options, all phenomenal tournament options. You cannot avoid the Seattle bats here tomorrow. They are going to be one of the better plays on this slate, so I will be firing away on them in 96-degree Texas heat, so got to load up on this game as much as you can. Looking on the opposite side, Felix Hernandez, he has had his struggles too. He is someone that we can target as well. I do think looking at, let's go specific sites and look at some salaries here on the Texas Rangers. We will start with fantasy draft and kind of see what we have on some salaries. We got Sinchu Chu, 9.1K. I like him. He's cheaper than Joey Gallo. I'll probably go there. I like Adrian Beltre's price at 7.3. That's a really nice cheap price. Odor is definitely expensive. You can afford him, sure, but I feel like on fantasy draft, it doesn't make as much sense where you're not forced to play second baseman. He is still a perfectly fine play, though. Let's look at DraftKings here and kind of compare the prices. Like Chu versus Gallo, I'm kind of a Chu fan over Gallo. It depends on the pitcher who's out there, but I think Chu is going to be the guy I'm going to go to tomorrow on the slate. I do think Adrian Beltre, again, very good source of value at the third base position. I do think that playing him is a good idea, so I'll be playing some Sinchu Chu, or not some Sinchu Chu, some Adrian Beltre, I think, because he's just a really cheap price, and it's hard to get exposure to him. That sounds like a really good option to do in your cash games over on DraftKings. And then looking at FanDuel, you know, Chu and Gallo's prices have gone up. I still think they're more viable on those sites than the other sites, but I am going to definitely look to get some exposure to those guys. Adrian Beltre is 3.1K. That's obviously a pretty solid value overall. On the Seattle side, obviously talked about the bats and stuff, but just let's talk about the values that are sticking out. D. Gordon on FanDuel, Denard Span on FanDuel, Segura is still a good price, and Mitch Haniger. Those guys are all really great prices, and then I still want to find a way to get in Nelson Cruz, so I'm going to have to try and do that. And like Mike Zanino is the minimum. FanDuel just has these Seattle Mariners bats way too cheap. On DraftKings, let's see what we have over here. Not a lot sticking out, but I do like Mitch Haniger's price at 4-5. You don't get him that cheap too often, even though it's not a lefty. Still think he's a solid play here. And then going over to fantasy draft, yeah, not the greatest prices on these guys. Some of these guys in the 8K range, I guess, are the better sources of value, but definitely not the easiest on fantasy draft and DraftKings, but I still think they're all really good plays. You're going to want to load up on this game. 11 total here. Don't miss out on getting exposure. Next game up, San Diego Padres, Milwaukee Brewers. We have an 8.5 total here with Clayton Richard and Chase Anderson. And Chase Anderson is actually a pretty decent play here in this spot, surprisingly. He is a guy that I definitely am worried about that he's going to blow up here coming up shortly soon. He's got some numbers that show he's going to regress a little. But, he is 7.6K on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's 7.8K. And then Fantasy Draft, he's 15K. And he gets a Padres offense that's very righty-heavy. On top of that, they are not good against right-handed pitchers. I mean, this is a spot where, like, what lefties are you scared of? You're scared of Jankowski, Hosmer, who else is in there? Galvis and Asuaje? Not really. I do think this is a spot where Anderson could have a good game. He's not one of my favorite pitchers in this mid-tier, but if you're considering some mid-tier pitchers, he's on the list. Again, it's very simple. It's the Padres against a righty. I do think Anderson could pitch a good game. Obviously, it is a ballpark upgrade, though, for the Padres, but I do think that Anderson is in play and someone to consider. Not as much my favorite playing cash games, more of a guy I'm liking in tournaments because of the upside he can have against that offense. Clayton Richard on the opposite side, I am not liking him. I do think this is a bad spot for him. And Brewers offense could be a really good one here. Braun, Shupp, Aguiar, Kane, those four righties are obviously great and in play. And the thing I like about them going against a righty is, Moustakas and Shoff, they're both in the lineup. Like, they don't really care. They'll hit a lefty, they'll hit a righty. It doesn't matter. And, like, a guy like Yelich, too, he's the same. He's just a really solid hitter overall. And if he gets on base, obviously stolen base potential is always there. And, he's got a guy like Aguiar's hit. Sitting behind him, so he'll get in somehow, and obviously great correlation as a stack. So I think the Brewers stack is a really, really good under-owned stack that people might not look to with going to Texas and going to Coors tomorrow. So like the Brewers stack is a little bit of a sneakier stack on this slate. Another stack that I think could go more under-owned than it should, New York Yankees, Chicago White Sox, 9 total here with CC Sabathia against Ronaldo Lopez. And yes, this Yankees offense is not what it was with no Judge and Stanton, right? It's definitely not as strong of a lineup here, but they are going against Ronaldo Lopez. And Ronaldo Lopez, what is he? He is a bad pitcher. I mean, he could be the worst pitcher on the slate. I mean, 5.89 xFIP, K percentage at 16.2%, walk rate 10.2%. He is a really, really, really bad pitcher. So we want to be attacking Ronaldo Lopez. This is definitely a good spot to load up on the Yankees offense. 1-9, I think they're phenomenal tournament plays, but I want to get exposure to the Yankees tomorrow. This is definitely a good spot to load up on them. So don't miss out on the Yankee stack tomorrow. That 1-5 is obviously really good, but don't be scared to leave off, Greg Bird, Andujar, even go to a Neil Walker who hit one out yesterday. I do think this Yankee stack is really good, and they're a team that just might go a little overlooked in cash games. I'm trying to see like what sticks out. I mean, I'd probably go to Stanton because a lot of these other outfielders are kind of overpriced, and Stanton feels a little more underpriced. I like Didi if you can get him. Let's see what his price is. FanDuel 3.8K. DraftKings, he's 4.8. I mean, it's kind of expensive. Don't know if I want to spend my money that way, but that's how the Yankees feel. It just feels like I don't want to spend my money this way with the Yankees on this slate, and it feels like people just go to, the Seattle bats and the Rockies bats instead. They'll find a little bit more money, so gotta like the Yankee stacks in tournaments, guys. On the opposite side, I just don't think I'm attacking CC Sabathia, and I'm not playing CC Sabathia. It is worth noting, though, I mean, the White Sox do hit lefties really well. This is like a typical spot that I would get super excited about. So, actually, in tournaments, I do think you have to consider it more because of the amount of power that this White Sox team has, right? If you go like an Anderson, Abreu, Avisel Garcia, Moncada, Davidson, like those guys all together, even Yomer, you can throw in there, just that 1-6. If you are making 150 lineups, I do think you should give some percentage to the White Sox. I wouldn't overlook it completely, and people are going to see that total. Even myself, I kind of did it there and said, I probably shouldn't play him here. And it's been more so, I just haven't really targeted against CC Sabathia a ton this year. I've done a little bit, but not as much as you would think. I do think the White Sox are in play as an offense to play in tournaments. Not as much in cash games, but tournament play, definitely think that you're going to get this offense really low owned, and just the amount of power that they have is just they have tournament winning upside against lefties almost any time out there. So I don't want to miss out on them when they're going to be like what, 2 to 5% owned. So definitely get some exposure to the White Sox stacks and the Yankees stacks. Again, in that Chicago Park, which is a really good hitter's park. So yeah, don't want to overlook that at all. Next game up, Chicago Cubs, Kansas City Royals is a 9 total here with Mike Montgomery against Brad Keller. And Mike Montgomery, he is not a guy I love rostering, but against the Royals, I think you could get away with it if you want for cheap. I think there's better cheap options, but if you're looking for a cheap one, I don't hate him. He's in the conversation, I guess you could say. The Royals are not a great team, so, but if you need a cheapie, I wouldn't argue against it. He's in the player pool, but he probably gets kicked out late in the day. Brad Keller on the upside, he is not good. I am not going to be playing him. I will be getting some exposure to this Cubs offense. This is a Cubs offense that they can swing pretty well. Give me Rizzo, Zobrist, Baez, Schwarber, Contreras. Those are my maybe Hap too. Like, just those six are the guys I'd really want to mix in. Obviously, if you're making stacks, I'd probably keep Hayward in there as well. But 5.07 implied total. Sure, the Cubs disappointing yesterday, but I feel like people just kind of will stay away from the Cubs today after what happened yesterday and all those other offenses being on the board that they'd rather consider. So I don't want to miss out on the Cubs stack. I do think that they can have a big day, so don't want to overlook that. Not really playing many Royals here. Don't love this spot. I mean, I guess Salvador Perez is like the one guy I'd play against Montgomery, but that's about it. I just don't love playing Royals. If you listen to my content, you know I hate playing the Royals. They're not a fun roster for me. Next game up, Pittsburgh Pirates, Colorado Rockies, 11 total here, and this is the Coors game, and we got Jameson Taillon against Chad Bettis, and yeah, I mean, it's tough. I don't love targeting against Taillon here. Taillon's been really good this season. I do think you can, take shots with, like, Blackman, Cargo. If Dahl's in the lineup, that's perfectly fine, but it's not a spot where I'm just loading up on Rockies and thinking that they're phenomenal plays. I think they're good plays, but I'm not really loving targeting Taillon today on this slate too much. It's just not the most ideal spot to just jam these guys in. I do think where you can get them at good salaries, like Cargo on FanDuel, I might put him in there just because it seems like too cheap of a price. I mean, LeMahieu seems kind of cheap on DraftKings. You might do that. But again, I'm just it just depends on what the lineup's going to end up being on this slate. But I have more interest in the Pirates side against Bettis. I think that they're going to be an interesting play. And looking at some of the salaries here, where's the best route to go? I mean, Corey Dickerson, if he is leading off, I like him. Marte, Polanco, I think those are all good plays. Cervelli, he's only 3-4 on a FanDuel like that. You can call him Moran in the 5-hole at 3-3, like his salary over there. But the Coors bats have gotten the price hike. That is definitely something worth noting. Like, look at DraftKings, 5-3 on Dickerson, 5-8 on Marte, 5-7 on Polanco. I mean, that's really expensive for those guys. I'm not saying it's something I'm definitely going to be rostering, but I do think they're good plays, and it's just they are expensive, though. If you want to play Coors, you got to kind of have to pay for it. Colin Moran, though, at 3-9 on DraftKings, that's a nice little value at the 5-hole you might want to plug in there at your third base position. If you're having trouble, getting exposure to these Coors bats, that's a good route to go. And then looking at fantasy draft, Moran, same thing, 7-7. He seems like an easy fit in your infield to just throw in there if you want to get a little bit of exposure to this game. But if you want to play this game in tournaments, you're going to have some cheap pitchers. And if you want to play it in cash games, you're not going to be able to get as much exposure as you think to the Rockies game. And I think more people are going to be gravitating to that Seattle and Texas 11 total because, again, similar totals with that Rockies game and the Texas game, and there's just worse pitchers in the Texas game and just cheaper salaries. So I think most people are going to gravitate to that. If you want to say what's going to be the most owned game of the day, that's my bet. Next game up, we got the Philadelphia Phillies, the Arizona Diamondbacks. We got Nick Pivetta against Zach Greinke. And I do think Pivetta has, he has tournament winning upside. I just don't know if I can play him here against the Diamondbacks. If you're playing, 150 tournament teams, I would like to get maybe 5% of them just because I believe in the talent in Pivetta, but not somewhere I'm looking in cash games, not someone, I'm not looking to load up on tomorrow. I do like Greinke a lot, though. If you're playing tournaments, you're playing cash, I think he is a viable option, someone to consider. The Phillies struggle against righties, and Greinke is a really good righty. Sure, he might not be that, amazing K upside righty that we have, but with that matchup, that's kind of giving us the potential to really unlock his ceiling here. Look at the numbers on Greinke: 3.53 xFIP, the K percentage at 25.9%, walk rate at 4.4%. This just seems like a spot where Greinke could have a really nice outing. So I like Greinke. I'm definitely considering him in cash, considering in tournaments on all sites around the industry. Seems like a phenomenal option. On the Diamondback side, if I play any bats, maybe I go back to well on like a David Peralta because he just had a 2-home run game. But I don't know. I'm not. I'm not in the business of really doing that too much. So I just think this is a game where I'm going to just trust the pitching more so than the hitting, and I'm not really going to go too crazy with it here. Let's go to the second-to-last game of the night. We got the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Oakland Athletics with Rich Hilling and Sean Manaea. And, yeah, not a game I love here. I don't think it's a spot where I'm going to play many hitters. Like, you know, with Manaea on the opposite side, I'll probably look at some of the righties. I'll look at, like, Justin Turner, Manny Machado, Brian Dozier. Maybe look at, like, those power Dodgers righties. Sure, it's not a great ballpark for him, but I do think that this is a spot where they could hit Manaea up a little bit, and those power righties could be really good plays. So I kind of like maybe going with a mini stack of that. So yeah, Dodgers are certainly in play because that offense is very, very good right now. And then on the opposite side, Rich Hill against this Oakland offense. I'm not really going to play too many Oakland A's. Like, if you wanted to play like a Chris Davis with a K, I wouldn't hate it. But I do like Rich Hill a little bit here. I think he's someone that I'll play in tournaments. If I'm playing 150 lineups, I think you want to get a little exposure to Rich Hill. He's a good tournament pitcher who has tournament winning upside, and the A's are not in the greatest spot here. So it's also a pitcher's park worth noting. So I do think Rich Hill is someone that we should consider as someone that could be viable tomorrow. Last game of the slate, we got the Detroit Tigers against the Los Angeles Angels. This is an 8.5 total here with Jacob Turner against Andrew Heaney. And it's really depressing because I don't think Mike Trout will be playing tomorrow on his birthday. But happy 27th birthday to Mike Trout, the GOAT, one of my favorite players to watch in the league. But we got Turner against Heaney, and let's talk about the Angels offense here. Without Trout in the lineup, they have a 5.02 implied total. I do think Ohtani is actually one of the better plays on this slate. Love him on FanDuel. At that price, I think he's someone that you want to be considering against Turner. I think he's a good candidate to hit one out tomorrow. Solid price on DraftKings at 4-4, and then yeah, Fantasy Draft, I'm not seeing a price here on him, but like Ohtani on this slate, I do think he is someone that I'm going to look to get some exposure to if I pick anyone on this Angels offense. If you want to play like an Upton, I wouldn't hate that. They do have some cheaper prices over on FanDuel. Like, the most you're spending on, like, the one through nine, the entire lineup, is you're paying 3-3 for Cole Calhoun and then 3-2 for Ohtani. So pretty cheap price on the Angels, especially with a 5 total. Do you think there's someone to consider on FanDuel? DraftKings, most you're spending is 4-4. So again, kind of a cheap offense. And then on Fantasy Draft, the most you're spending is 8-5. But for some reason, Ohtani's price isn't in here. So if he's not on their site, maybe I'm just not finding him here. Then it's kind of tougher to stack them up, because if you can't play Ohtani and miss out on him, that's kind of frustrating. But have to like this Angels offense. I do think that they're certainly in play. It's not one of my favorite offenses on the day, but I do think it's worth noting. And it's going to be 90 degrees out there, wind blowing out almost 10 miles an hour, so that's obviously better for the hitters as well. On the opposite side, I think, you know, this Tigers offense, I won't be playing any of them. There is a lefty on the opposite side, and I do get scared of the Tigers against lefties. I'm not saying that they're going to hit them up, but I don't know if it's a spot that I want to just target against them. I do think Heaney is a good pitcher, though, someone that we can, you know, maybe play. If you look at his salary, let's see what we can get his price at around the industry. FanDuel, he's 8-9. DraftKings 8-8, and then Fantasy Draft 7-3, so he's more so in that mid-tier. I do think you can get away with playing Heaney. If you kind of make a lineup and you fall on him, I'm okay with it. You know, I don't think the mid-tier pitchers, it's not like super, super strong today. It's solid, but I think if you fall on a guy like Heaney, I wouldn't talk you out of it. That's kind of how I feel on him on this slate, but more so interested on the Angels side of the ball than the Tigers side. But that's bad. That about wraps up the slate, guys. Let's kind of summarize it by talking about the stacks that I like. Of course, I like the Rockies. I like the Seattle and Texas game. I'll keep those off as my favorite stacks. It's obvious I'm going to be playing them in cash. You should be playing them in tournaments. But the two stacks that I think could go overlooked, you know, I guess you could call them the overlooked difference makers, I think that's going to be the Brewer stack and the Yankee stack. I just don't think people are going to play them as much as you might think on a normal slate. People may say, oh yeah, everyone will play the Yankees. I just don't think they're to go as owned as people think. They've been struggling. They have not been hitting the way that people, you know, expected them, and now they get terrible Ronaldo Lopez. It just seems like a great spot to play some Yankees. And then on the opposite side, man, I like this Brewer stack too. I think this could be a really good spot for them, and they'll just go under-owned as well. So I like those two stacks as the under-owned stacks of the day. But that wraps up the slate, guys. Thanks a lot for joining me. I should be back on Friday breaking down the slate for you guys, though. So good luck in your contest tonight, everyone, and I will see you later.